Hey, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Katie.
You're listening to Nostalgia, the podcast that took a wrong turn at Albuquerque.
Oh, God, stop. Full disclosure, we both still have COVID.
It's day three of COVID
it
for
is
us.
Day
we're,
three.
We're getting better. We sound,
we're doing okay.
I think we sound sultry.
You think?
No.
I think I sound ill.
Stuffed up, yeah. Okay, Kate, tell me what you know and what your experience has been with. Looney Tunes.
Well, I'm married to a Looney Tune.
Damn.
You took me to see Bugs Bunny at the Symphony once.
Yeah,
that was fun.
That was a couple years ago.
But
now,
we got last minute tickets, so you were one row back from me, and I was literally in the front row, and I got to basically sit in the cellist's lap. But it was cool to be that close to the instruments.
That's what I was going
to
ask. How was that experience?
It was all right.
Would you like more of the cartoons or the music?
Oh, definitely the music.
Yeah, yeah. Understood.
I mean, it was the Philadelphia Orchestra.
There might be one or two repeats in here, but most of these we didn't see that night. Okay, what else do you know? Did you have any childhood experiences watching Looney Tunes?
I feel like we've all seen a Looney Tune every once in a while, but I don't have like any strong memories of the Looney Tunes.
Do you have like a favorite character or anything? Or did you watch them so little you didn't even...
I don't think I necessarily had a favorite. I always liked Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner.
Mm.
But I think I have big Roadrunner energy.
Yeah, you're also kind of a Tweety bird, I think.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see. That's another episode for the future. Well, Kate, this is the beginning of a little mini enclosed series like we do from time to time on Nostalgia. All about Looney Tunes and Merry Melodies. We'll get to that in a minute.
What are we calling it? Are we going to call it I Married a Looney Tune?
So each episode we do here, or sporadically for the next year or so, will be about one character is the way that I've broken this down. It's the best way I could kind of wrap my mind around it.
Wow.
I think if I was a better historian, I would have it be about the different animators, but alas. Instead, we'll do the characters.
2024, it's a big year for us here at Nostalgia.
Speaking of, here's my resolution, to make the notes section shorter, because I know it gets out of hand, so I tried to minimize these notes that are just getting us to our character today. Bugs Bunny, so I'm going to keep it brief.
Let's see. Are we talking Tyler brief or regular brief?
Set a stopwatch, Kate. Here we go. So here's what I think you need to know in order to watch these Looney Tunes today.
Okay.
Walt Disney.
I know that guy.
He started the whole theatrical cartoon industry himself with his first cartoon company, Laugh-O-Gram Studios in Kansas, Missouri in 1922. Two of the animators he hired there were Hugh Harmon and Rudolph Ising. Important to note that everyone here is like in their early 20s. They're just young. They're basically inventing animation. It sounds exciting. However, long story short, Laugh-O-Gram went bankrupt within a year. Disney packs up and moves from Kansas to, no, where was he? Missouri?
Missouri.
He moves from Missouri to California to start over. His new studio there is going to be called Disney Brothers Studio with his brother Roy, the co-founder, although it'll quickly change to Walt Disney Studio.
What happened there?
I don't know. I told you I was keeping the notes short.
That's true.
Save it for a Disney episode. In 1925, Harmon and Ising make their way out to California, and they resume working for Disney at the new studio.
Huh.
So the studio gets contracted by Universal Pictures, where Disney famously makes Oswald the Lucky Rabbit cartoons, but Universal fires Walt Disney. Right? But they keep the rights to Oswald, the character. That's an important part in Disney's story. I'm sure we've talked about that before. That's why he has to go invent Mickey Mouse, because he lost his character. But then they rehire most of his animators. Like, they must have, first, there must have just been a clash, personality-wise. Mm. But they must have just figured, you know, that's show business, baby. It's cheaper to not contract the studio, but instead hire key animators. Anyway, Harmon and Ising were two of the animators that continue to work at Universal, continue to make Oswald the Lucky Rabbit shorts. And I guess part of the reason I'm telling you this is just to say that like rubber hose black and white animation from the 20s, like Disney gets a lot of credit for that. He like developed that alongside Harmon and Ising. They are just as important as Disney.
Cool. This episode is sponsored by whatever generic Tylenol I'm taking.
Anyway, we took a break to take some Care One acetaminophen. That doesn't count against my time. Okay, so that whole firing of Disney where Harmon and Ising stay on at Universal, that was 1928. But the animation industry was fast and brutal back then, so they get fired themselves the next year in 1929.
Yeah.
They're on their own. They start their own studio. They make this short to pitch to studios called Bosco the Talk Ink Kid. They have their own little character now.
Oh, that's very clever.
He's racist.
Oh,
Bosco,
that's not good.
We're not going to watch Bosco today, but he's pretty racist. He's like definitely a little minstrel boy. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Can't talk about this without talking about it. I love Looney Tunes. This is an unfortunately true part of the history.
Well, isn't a lot of the like the trappings that we associate with early animation like taken straight from blackface minstrels?
Yes, including Bugs Bunny. The gloves, yes. So the big like lips, it's like stuff that, you would see on a actor in blackface. Early animation is problematic. I'll admit it. I'll take the brave stance and admit it.
Wow, so brave.
So they're on their own. They make their little pilot. Disney's on his own. He invents Mickey Mouse and something called Silly Symphonies himself in 1929, which were short cartoons set to music. So when Warner Brothers is looking to start making their own cartoons, they want something to compete with what Disney's doing, something to compete with what Universal's doing. They hire Harmon and Ising because they saw Bosco the Talking Kid, this Warner Brothers, hiring them to make shorts for them. And they want the shorts to be called Looney Tunes as a direct competitor to Silly Symphonies. Make sense?
Yes.
The first official Looney Tune for Warner Brothers that Harmon and Ising make is called Sinking in the Bathtub in 1930. It stars Bosco. They keep up a pace and make a bunch of these. In 1931, they start a second series called Merry Melodies, which originally the idea was Merry Melodies would be in color and Silly Symphonies would be in black and white. But by the end of the 30s, they're both in color and they're pretty much interchangeable. It's not really important, but there was a little while where Harmon was director of one of the series and Ising was director of the other. Just let them both, you know, kind of work and make a bunch of these. But throughout the whole rest of the history, you might as well say Merry Melodies every time you say Looney Tunes. They're kind of the same thing. Anyway, Harmon and Ising oversaw the cartoons at Warner Brothers until 1933, when they had a fight with the heads of Warner Brothers and they left. They took their characters with them. Fortunately, the only characters they had learned from Disney's mistake, and they own the rights to Bosco and Buddy. They're like the lamest characters. Bosco's a little minstrel boy. Buddy is a little white boy they created, maybe to be less racist. I don't know. But they're not very compelling characters. They're not, you know.
They're just little boys.
They didn't go down in history, you know, as famous characters. Although we did see the episode of Tiny Toons with Bosco in it, but you don't remember that, I'll bet. Do you?
Sure don't.
Bosco and Honey. Bosco's girlfriend. So that left some of the other animators who are already working with them to take over and create some new characters, which are all the characters, of course, we now associate with Looney Tunes. Between 1930 and 1969, 1,000 Looney Tunes and Merry Melody shorts were produced.
That's a lot.
There have been a few more since then, but not any noteworthy ones. But like 1969 is when they officially shut down making their shorts in general, and Looney Tunes in particular. The 60s Looney Tunes are really weird. If we ever finish our series here on important characters, we'll talk a little about that. There's like weird new characters you definitely have never heard of. It's a whole thing. And it's got like mid-century modern style. It's really weird. But of course, Looney Tunes has lived on. The characters have appeared in TV shows, spinoffs, movies, etc. Really, this is just our road to Space Jam anyway, this series. But like I said, we're going to focus on one character at a time. And here's what I've done. I've self-limited to no more than 5 episodes, or shorts, I should say, per character. It was really hard to pick these, but I have them picked out. Today's Bugs Bunny. You have any love in your heart for Bugs Bunny in particular?
I like that he's like a master of disguise, you know? I like that Bugs Bunny occupies this kind of like liminal space where he can be anything. You know, he's kind of like your archetype of like your classic trickster, right? He can show up anywhere, do something wacky, and then disappear. But that's really the extent of my love for Bugs Bunny. I feel like he's also kind of a smart ass.
Yeah. And there's kind of all the Looney Tunes characters are like this, but Bugs and Daffy in particular, there's like 2 Bugs Bunnies. There's the early Bugs Bunny, and then he gets refined so much over the decades. There's like later, you'll see. We're going to see both Bugs Bunnies today.
Okay, sweet.
So here's 3 bullet points explaining Bugs Bunny, and then we're ready to watch.
Wow, great. Do you think this voice that I have right now due to COVID makes me sound like an NPR reporter, or do I just sound like a creep?
What's the difference? The earliest version of what would become Bugs Bunny appears in a 1938 short called Porky's Hare Hunt, which was essentially a remake of a short from the year before, Porky's Duck Hunt, where they replaced the duck, who ended up being the first appearance of Daffy Duck, with a rabbit. They did this a lot. They were kind of sometimes reusing ideas. They had to make a lot of these, 1,000 of them. So this rabbit, his design is a little different from what we know of as Bugs Bunny, but it's definitely an early version of what he will become. This rabbit appears a few more times. They tweak his design over the next few years before his first official appearance in what we can say for certain is Bugs Bunny, which is a wild hare in 1940. That's the first one we're going to watch today. Starting in 1942, Bugs Bunny was wildly popular with audiences and became the main star of Merry Melodies. Like, within 2 years of his official introduction, he becomes the star. It's hard to give credit to a single creator or designer because, one, any given short is a collaborative effort between several artists, and two, the character morphed and evolved over time very naturally, and each time it was like a short directed by a different director. Ben Hardaway directed Porky's Hare Hunt, so he's technically the creator, but Tex Avery directed A Wild Hare, which is the first official appearance. Then you have Bob Givens. He's the artist who did the design in A Wild Hare. And then Robert McKimson redesigned Bugs Bunny in 1943 to that version we most recognize today. A little bit of sharper angles. You'll know it when you see it. So again, the answer to who created him, which is something I'd always like to be able to say in these episodes to give credit, is really complicated. And as with almost every Looney Tunes character, he's voiced by Mel Blanc. So at least we can say that.
Okay.
Here's the list today, Kate. Ready?
Whoa.
Five shorts. The essential Bugs Bunny, I think. It was very painful to narrow it down.
This is like Sophie's Choice for you, isn't it?
It really was. And I had like 20 lists up, but I'm also thinking about my own preferences. So I really feel good about this. A Wild Hare. It's a Merry Melodies, directed by Tex Avery. July 27th, 1940 was when it premiered. It's his first official appearance of Bugs Bunny. Next, Little Red Riding Rabbit. It's a Merry Melodies, directed by Friz Freleng. It premiered on January 4th, 1944. Number three, Rabbit Fire. It's a Looney Tunes, directed by Chuck Jones. He doesn't get credit for creating Bugs Bunny, but he's really important.
What a great name.
Chuck, it is a great name.
Chuck Jones.
He refined Bugs a lot. That newer Bugs. Newer. It's from the 50s, but still. That later Bugs. This one premiered, this is Rabbit Fire, on May 19th, 1951. It's the first in a trilogy of the Duck versus Rabbit cartoons. When we do our Daffy Duck, we'll see another one. And when we do our Elmer Fudd, we'll see the third one. So that's how I snuck in some of the ones I couldn't pick. Number four is Bully for Bugs. It's a Looney Tunes, again, Chuck Jones, August 8th, 1953. And number five, one that you've seen, and I think you might like, from what I recall, What's Opera, Doc? It's a Merry Melodies, directed by Chuck Jones, from July 6th, 1957. So this is a good spread, 1940 all the way to 1957.
Seems really good.
Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Actually, wait, before we jump in, what is your what's your experience with Looney Tunes and maybe Bugs Bunny specifically?
I'm so glad.
See,
you asked.
I'm interested in you.
I do
trying to
like
keep
I'm
it fresh.
This is like we've Terry been, Gross interviewing me.
We've been married for a long time. Got to keep it fresh.
Well, we've been quarantining with our COVID for a long time. Three.
This
days.
Is day three, we're guys. Losing we're losing it.
Okay. I love Looney Tunes. I think I'm glad you asked because I forgot to mention any of this.
Yeah.
I will go to bat any day that Looney Tunes are the best form of cartoons, especially from this era. I think they're superior to anything Disney has ever done. And I love animation.
Wow, that's hot take from Tyler here.
The output of Disney, but Looney Tunes are so fun. They have such a like sarcastic, annoying, biting sense of humor. Like they're just I don't know. They're just like subversive.
Yeah, maybe something that like Disney with its commercial success couldn't or didn't want.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to explain it. But like if I have to pick between a Mickey Mouse short and a Bugs Bunny short, I will throw the Mickey Mouse in the garbage any day of the week. I think they're better than Tom and Jerry. They're just amazing. And part of it just might be growing up, these were always in reruns. They were on Nickelodeon for a time and then they switched over to Cartoon Network. And it's like you would see these side by side, especially on Cartoon Network, with like Hanna-Barbera's cartoons from the 60s and 70s, which are like so low quality. Like the animation quality, something I didn't understand as a child, but like you just kind of get while you're watching.
Like
I think.
You're just like, why does it's this amazing. Feel good to watch?
Yes, yeah. It's incredible. And so is Disney's, but like this is a mix of the theatrical quality where they had a decent budget. Although I didn't mention they worked in a bungalow in the back of the Warner Brothers lot that was nicknamed Termite Terrace because they were like always infested with bugs. But like they gave these guys at least enough resources to make really, really high quality cartoons. Disney was just as good animation wise, but the humor, the sense of humor here is just so funny. At least it was to me as a kid. We're really going to see if they hold up. So I've always loved Looney Tunes. That's why I've been wanting to do this series for a long time. And we finally got around to it.
Pardon me, but you know, you look just like a rabbit. Come here. Listen, Doc. Now, don't spread this around, but, confidentially, I am a rabbit!
This music plays in my head every day when I wake up.
I thought it was the Powerhouse song.
It's another good one.
No, that's just when you're doing something.
Yeah, that's when I'm doing like a mechanical task. This is Merrily We Roll Along. You have to remember that Warner Brothers, the whole point of doing this is that they had this amazing orchestra and music catalog that they owned.
Is Elmer Fudd like an old person or a young person? I can't tell.
Wait till we do our Elmer Fudd episode. Don't worry. Talk about his origins as Egghead. I don't know. To answer your question, I have no idea. I always assumed he was kind of middle-aged. Of course, it wouldn't be a Looney Tunes without a lot of gunplay.
So much gunplay.
I always love when they scream in somebody's ear. The dated references are always fun. Elmer Fudd's guessing who has his hands over his eyes, and he's just naming actresses from the 30s and 40s.
But he's guessed Olivia de Havilland, who just died in 2023.
Good
right?
point.
I can't tell if I like the recurring theme of Bugs Bunny just planting kisses on people or not.
Like, what's the point? Is he trying to be homophobic?
I can't tell.
Yeah, I'm with you. Is it supposed to be an insult because they're both boys? Is it supposed to be him asserting power by non-consensually kissing him? Are we truly overthinking this? I just love the designs. Like, these are the rounder, earlier designs. Yeah. They look way different. They look a lot like Disney, honestly. Like, Elmer Fudd looks just like dopey, I feel like.
I do like this little skunk, though.
I heard a small chuckle come out of you when Bugs Bunny tiptoed away.
I did kind of like that.
After faking out Elmer Fudd. There it is. Bugs Bunny's first official appearance. What do you think?
He's all right.
He's okay. Let's see if we can win you over in our program today. Little Red Riding Rabbit.
What you got in the basket, gorgeous?
I got a little bunny rabbit, which I'm taking to my grandma's to have, see?
Wow. Not a bad pair of stems for a rabbit.
Yeah, and he's got a cute face too, see?
So now he's featured prominently.
Yes, they've added him to the intro of the Merry Melodies. Yeah, we're a few years in the future. That just, he took off like a shot after that one. This Brooklyn-accented, rude rabbit.
He is naughty.
I just, as much as I love these, I think it would be torture for me if I lived back then. Like, you were at the whim of going to see a movie, and these would be before them. It's your only chance to see these. I'm just a sucker for these kind of jokes, too, where there's, like, a sign in the woods that says, shortcut to grandma's. Come on, that's pretty funny.
All right, that is kind of
grandma's got a note on her door. She's working the late shift at Lockheed.
What is the joke where Little Red Riding Hood just screams the whole time?
Just the glee on Bugs Bunny's face when he's slapping somebody or...
Yeah. He's a joyful trickster.
Yeah.
You know, he's a Loki.
He's committing violence.
Yeah.
Smiles ear to ear. To be fair, so far, he was going to be hunted to death by Elmer Fudd or eaten to death by this wolf. So I think he's actually entitled to fight back, right?
I guess.
He's not just causing mayhem for the sake of it.
I mean, a little bit. The amount of sound effects in this really informs my life with you. There's a lot of like,
it's just such great chaos. I really like the characterization of Little Red Riding Hood. I bet you weren't expecting that to end with a violence against women joke.
Yeah.
That wasn't the best.
Wasn't a great one.
They didn't stick the landing. At the end, when Bugs Bunny was about to kill the wolf, Little Red showed up again and was so annoying that they both decided to kill her instead.
Aha, 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 aha.
Say, Doc, are you trying to get yourself in trouble with the law? This ain't rabbit hunting season.
It's not?
No, it's duck hunting season. That, sir, is an investigated fabrication. It's rabbit season. Duck season! Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! Wabbit season! Duck season! Wabbit season! I say it's duck season, and I say fire! Let's try that again.
Rabbit fire. Get it?
I sure
Rabbit.
Do.
Fire. They're all Chuck Jones from here on out.
All right.
He really
Chuck
staged a bloodless coup, I feel like. I'm sorry, Charles M. Jones, according to his credit. However, there's no denying they looked better before. Look at this. It's still beautiful, but...
All right, so we just watched Daffy Duck get shot in the face.
Uh-huh. His bill just kind of spun around. There it goes again. Daffy Duck gets shot in the face over and over and over again.
Constantly. Shouldn't these guys team up?
Bugs and Daffy?
Yeah, and just kill Elmer Fudd?
Here we go. Finally.
All right, so we get to see Bugs Bunny dressed up as a woman now.
Seducing Elmer Fudd.
Yep.
He's a female hunter. Look, they did team up. Daffy's playing his dog, his hunting dog.
Just a lot of guns in this.
A lot
just
of bullets
indiscriminate
flying.
Guns.
Yeah, it's a very American cartoon, Kate. There you go.
Okay.
The famous first one of those three. We'll see the others another time.
Hooray.
How you feeling?
Sick.
Pardon me, sir, but could you direct me to the shortest route to the Coachella Valley and the Big Carrot Festival, Darien? What's up, Doc? Stop steaming up my tail! What are you trying to do, wrinkle it? Let's see now, Coachella Valley. Then to Las Vegas, San Bernardino. Of course you realize this means war.
Bully for Bugs. This is the top of a lot of animation historians' lists.
Who are some animation historians that we should check out if we're interested?
Some guy. Another
guy. Excellent research.
I don't remember any of the names, but I was on the Chuck Jones website, like whatever still exists of his company that he had, because he died a while back. And everyone who worked there had a little profile with their favorite cartoon listed, and this was there a lot. It was on a lot of lists.
Okay.
Or Johnny Knoxville gets a lot of his ideas.
I could see that. This is just animated jackass. Bugs Bunny's trying to go to Coachella right now.
The Coachella Valley? Is that where it takes place?
Yeah.
Huh. I love this bull with its pink eyes.
It is a great design.
How about Bugs Bunny's cute little matador outfit?
I love a matador outfit. I was a matador for my kindergarten Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
And my sister was the bull. Yeah, it was great.
I bet you thought this one wasn't going to have guns in it. I
was sorely mistaken.
We watched Bugs Bunny fight a bull for a while, but they managed to get a gun in there.
America has always been obsessed with guns.
I do like Bugs Bunny both praying and filling out his will while the bull speeds towards him. All right, one more.
One more. Let's see if there's going to be guns in this one.
Ethan, my love, a longing burns deep inside me.
Return, my love, I want you always beside me.
Love, why cause must be
made for you.
What's Opera, Doc? This is pretty much the one that always gets put up at the top. This and The Rabbit of Seville, top of everybody's lists. We definitely saw this at the Bugs Bunny at the orchestra.
Yeah,
but that's okay. I've seen this probably 50 times in my life. You can handle a second viewing, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
And that was a while ago. Interesting that he goes by Chuck now.
He's successful now.
In the credits. It's not Charles anymore. You can just feel that they're like, we've made 500 of these. What else can we do? All right. He's hunting the rabbit still, but it's a fully sung opera. Oh, here it is.
Yes. This is the best part. Bugs Bunny is riding down a mountain on a fat horse dressed as a woman. I love this fat horse more than anything I have ever loved.
Yeah, you always talk about this horse.
I love it so much.
I was going to get it as a tattoo. How would you feel?
I think it would be great.
The horse is so funny.
The proportions on the horse are incredible. Here's Bugs Bunny activating big trickster energy here.
Another great disguise.
This has got real like Looney Tunes dartboard energy, you know? They're like, all right, Elmer Fudd, tsk, Bugs Bunny, opera. That's I'm throwing the darts. Oh, and a fat horse.
There it is. A little fourth wall breaking at the end.
Golly.
Kate, illness aside, tell us how you feel about Bugs Bunny Looney Tunes.
It was all right. I liked the trickster element that was ever present.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's real fun. I liked seeing Bugs Bunny on that fat horse. There was a lot of gunplay, though. I didn't know if I liked that.
Yeah. I gotta say, watching five back-to-back was almost a little repetitive.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot of like, all right, Elmer Fudd's here. Now he's hunting.
Right, and Bugs Bunny has done a lot without Elmer Fudd, but those, I know we looked at 3 out of 5 with him because they do kind of go together pretty well. Do you think Bugs Bunny will end up being your favorite Looney Tunes character when we're all done here?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right, Kate. Well, thanks for watching. Do you have a favorite of those five?
I think it was What's Opera, Doc?
Just for the 1 second of Fat Horse or the crazy art direction.
I think it was super creative, right? Like to set it all to like an operatic score.
Mm-hmm.
So for creativity alone, I say What's Opera, Doc?
All right. I love how short these all are. I think they're just the right length. Seriously, though, for like a cartoon, they're just right. That's why I loved all those shows in the 90s that did like 2 stories in a half hour or even less, like the Cartoon Network stuff. Like old Dexter's Lab we watched where they jammed 3 stories into a half hour. It's amazing. They were this long. But they were fun. Although I hate to admit, I was getting a little fatigued by the end. But we'll see. Daffy Duck is up next whenever we get around to it. And his 5 are all very different. So maybe...
That's good at
least. Bugs Bunny, honestly, was never my favorite character. He's just the most iconic, so I figured we'd start there.
Who's your favorite?
I always used to love Foghorn Leghorn. I don't know why. We'll get to him eventually. Wow. But some future episodes include Daffy Duck, Porky Pig, Sylvester and Tweety, maybe Roadrunner and Coyote and Foghorn Leghorn, and you'll see. There's. I'm not quite done here. Elmer Fudd gets his own thing, but it starts with like a list of 10, and then they have to get narrowed down and refined. Marvin the Martian, Pepe Le Pew, Speedy Gonzales, maybe... We'll have to talk about that. Okay, anyway. And then one day, maybe we'll see Space Jam. Thanks for watching, Kate. Thanks for suffering through this illness with me.
It's all right.
We're doing okay.
We're doing okay.
Fine. Everything's fine.
By the time this airs, we're going to be totally fine.
We better be. It's going to be in like a
month. Have my sense of taste back, maybe.
I hope so. I don't know. I'm worried. I'd say since you didn't like All in the Family, you've never had a sense of taste.
Oh, you want to fight? Don't push me.
Looney Tunes on Nickelodeon.
What's you anyway? Don't even know a rat.